they can join in with us, which is great. So, go. Anyone like to start? Share something or ask something?
I'm actually going to switch over to another app. This is not working. I think I'm taxing my system. I'm trying something here, not working. So I'll be back in a second.
All right, okay.
I don't want to be pushy, but I'll start.
Okay, go on then.
So, yeah, not. Why change now? I know the first one is Judgment, and then somebody had posted it somewhere, but I couldn't find it anymore, so I was just going to write it down.
Actually, Start, and when they finish. So I've got all those as a list. So that's it. That's when they meet for certain things. So I've been personally, I needed to find out because God told me to do some things. And after day 35 of each of them, so I had to work out when day 35 was, which is the middle. I will be over there with you guys when Justice starts. Yeah,
that might be a huge coincidence.
But I'm working on all the different cases and what it means to be able to present something at that level, and understand, you know, has and his purposes for a particular, depending on what you're bringing it for. But it's interesting. I was a little bit like, oh, 70 days. So I said, well, God, when do you want me to do it? And so he said, I want you to do it on the day 35 for each one. I thought, oh, I thought I was only going to do one. He says, no, each one of what you're bringing has to have an aspect of judgment, justice, grace, and mercy. So you need to bring a case for that applies to each of those things and what you're actually expecting to see released. So that's what I'm working on at the moment. But, you know, but in a sense, you know, we sort of look at it and think, okay, that's sort of, what is that going to accomplish? What is that going to do? It's going to do the same things just at a different level as we do in the basic mobile court, or, you know, in another court bringing legislation. You know, it's just outworking the same basic principles. We just do it at a different level. But, you know, ultimately, I think the more we come into our sonship roles, the more we have to take charge of the courts and have access into the assemblies of God. I mean, that's part of the Zechariah 3 process. You know, yeah, there's a whole load of people still learning to walk in his ways, which is great, and we can walk in his ways. But, you know, there's a lot more who have now been called into intimacy where they'll begin to recognize that they have a part to play in bringing his government and to see his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. So, you know, that process is one that we're all on. And, you know, I think I sent Bracey an email earlier just saying, look, we're all amateurs at this. You know, none of us are professionals, and God is not looking for those who think they're competent. He's looking for those who have a heart and a willingness to obey and do whatever God says to do. You know, and he will guide. You know, I don't have to come and have a legal degree to put a case before him. He's shown me on the basis of his precepts and his statutes and his laws of who he is and how he does things, that I just have to bear that in mind, that everything comes out of that. And then I only have to look at what is now and see what isn't lining up with that, to see that's the stuff that has to change. And what will things look like when they do line up with that? Then I can begin to decree and declare, this is what we want to see as a result of this verdict that's going to be passed in our favor for this. So it's not actually complicated. It's just a matter of knowing God and knowing his heart, and then begin to flow from that and outwork it, you know. In any of the situations we face, it's basically the same thing. If we know God's heart on it, then we can see what doesn't line up with his heart now, and what would it look like if it lined up with his heart in the future. And I look at that for my own life. You know, what is his will and purpose, my destiny, as he has preordained me to be conformed to the image of him, being made in his image, but how he's made me to be, once I recognize that and I have a revelation of that, then I can look at my life and think, this doesn't line up, this doesn't line up, this doesn't line up. Okay, so I need to be transformed in that area. So I surrender that area to transformation, I get transformed, then this begins to line up, then that gives me a greater revelation of who I am and what I'm called to do and the authority and the government that that can release. Now I can begin there to look at what will it be as a result of this and begin to see the future changed. You know, and that's true whether we're looking at our own life, our own family, whatever sphere of government we're in, we must see it from God's perspective. You know, and then the whole understanding of the four faces of God, it is God's perspective of government. There's kingly, prophetic, apostolic, and priestly functions within it. You know, so they will operate in my life, and in everything that we do governmentally, they will operate. So we just have to, you know, become more intimate with God, then everything else flows out of it.
Practically, how do you? So in a practical sense, so say I have everything together, I activate the mobile courts. You activate the, it seems like that's not appropriate.
No, having not actually done it and been there to present a case, I mean, I've been there. I will, yeah.
You walk in, like in a courtroom?
How I'm going to do it, and this is where I am with it right now, for the first case I'm going to bring, I'm going to go to Wisdom's Heights and I'm going to say, ask Wisdom to run me through the protocol and take me there and lead me through and guide me in the first case that I need to bring. Because having got the basics of what I need to do, in a sense, I want to make sure that I'm just coming from a place of wisdom in it. So that's what I'm going to do, first of all. It's already convened and is already sitting. We have to go into it and present something. So, you know, that's where the mobile court is under our judicial authority in that sense, to convene it, and God will show up with his mobile throne and everything will function. This is something which is set and in session, if you like. I don't know. I mean, what I'm believe is that because there are not that many people on it who are of this generation, then those that are on it are fully cognizant of God's will and purpose, and they will respond to what they're hearing and what they're seeing brought in faith through people coming with intercession and petition, and they will take that into account in their judicial verdicts that are made. I mean, you can look at it from, you know, are people filling up the bowls that then will be poured out in terms of prayer? Now, and I'm not saying that that is how it's intended to be, but I believe, because we're intended to be able to go there, but I do believe that's how it functions, because people haven't gone there. And so they haven't had people come in presenting cases other than that which has been done when people have begun to intercede or catch the heart of God and then begin to call things into existence and stuff. Doing what they know to do, they take note of that. Now, ultimately, I believe there should be 70 on that court, all from this generation, all serving the purpose of God in this generation, setting the boundaries and beginning to legislate for what goes on in this generation. But we're not at that point right now. You know, it'd be interesting, you know, when I do go, to see if I recognize anybody who's actually functioning there in that way, you know, because I didn't recognize anyone before when I went several times. First time I went, I couldn't even see. It was so bright. You know, the atmosphere was so different from anything I'd been in. It was just like, whoa, I can't see. Because they were radiating a whole different level of glory, you know, and that's what it seemed like, you know. But so, yeah, that's my strategy, which is my fallback in any situation. I go to Wisdom and let her do her stuff, you know, because essentially Wisdom is there to help the sons of men rule in kingship, princeship, or whatever you call it, and noble, being nobles. So I figure that's a good place. You know, she's guided me in every other judicial process. So I'm sure she'll be very amenable to helping me in this one. But we'll see. you know, it'll be interesting. I mean, I don't even know whether I'm even going to get any authorization to share what I do. You know, it's like I can't share what I'm not authorized to do. So, you know, but I'm, you know, I know as a result of the court, then some things will begin to change. And, you know, some things we can, I think there are legal things we have to do in preparation, because that deals with the legal rights that the enemy has to block or hinder or obstruct. So there may well be judicial things we need to do in preparation for going there. But at the moment, they put a limit on what the enemy can do on the basis of God's precepts and laws and statutes. So they limit. There's not so much legislating things that are kind of come into being or changing because the fact of people aren't presenting those things, you know. But we'll see. I mean, I'm not an expert. I'm an amateur who's just going there on his first day. It'd be like first day at school. It's like, oh, I hope everything's okay. But you know, hey, God wouldn't call me to do it unless he was going to give me the revelation of what to do, so I just have to go with where I am with it. But, you know, I think these things will become commonplace in the future. Right now, it's a bit like, oh, I've never been to that. But then there's lots of places I've never been to, and they turned out all right, you know, before. So I have testimony that, you know, everything works out all right when you just follow what God wants you to do. So, yeah, there we go. Anyway, all right.
Yeah, I'll share a little something. George came to our church on Sunday. Well, he was here over the weekend, and on Sunday he shared some stuff. And he shared a scripture that the Lord had already had me going through in Matthew. Talking about don't worry about food and clothing and that thing.
Matthew 6. Yep.
Matthew 6, yep. 25 through 33. Yep. 30, and fear not, for it's the Father's, you know, pleases the Father to bring you the kingdom. I can't remember exactly the scripture. But the statement, George had said fear not multiple times, just trying to get it to sink in, and which is appropriate for most audiences because a lot of times it can just kind of fly by. But at any rate, you know, he brought up the question, and when he fear not, he says, you know, well, why in the world would, you know, the Lord put fear not in front of a statement, so, you know, with something so good as, you know, it brings me pleasure to give you this, to give you the kingdom, and that was a very good question. And so, at any rate, you know, I really, really spoke to my heart, because there is a level of, you know, surrendering, and you know, Mike, you've taught many times about the daily sacrifice and have some really good teachings on that, which I really grabbed a hold of. But the fact and what comes with all this is I find myself, yes, do not fear, little flock, for it's your Father who will give you the kingdom. That's what it is. Thank you, David. To grow in order to develop and be walk in that which he's called for each one of us to walk in, it's like you've got to let go. You know, we sang a song on Sunday by Will Reagan, and it talks about climbing a mountain with your hands wide open, which, you know, makes no sense in the natural, but
But I get it, you know. And so I'm just really just sharing, but how much that resonated with me and how my eyes were open even more. I think they already were, but in really realizing that I have to really surrender and let go of what I thought the way things were, you know, I guess we call it our box, you know, really get out of my box and allow the Lord to just replace all that which I found comforting, you know, all that which I thought was my security with true security, what he has to offer. So
yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think I'm sort of going through this quite a lot at the moment in terms of sort of looking at Matthew 11, and you know, all those who are weary laden, you know, and tired, worn out, come to me and find rest. Now that this is basically the same principle. When we're yoked to Jesus and he's taking lead and directing us, then we don't have to, we're trying to do it rather than just following him in intimacy and him leading us, and then we just flow in it. And you know, we're so God as someone who he isn't, you know. So fear only comes when you don't trust. Why wouldn't you trust? Well, because you have an impression that you can't trust this person, because there actually might be something that he's going to do which is not going to be very good. And the reality is, you know, we know that the scriptures are, you know, all things work together for good, and we know those things, but actually, do we know them? Can we just quote them? Actually, are there our living experience? Because in reality, when anybody was called to do anything, there was a crisis of, can I do this? Actually, it isn't God calling. He's not going to call you to do something that you can do simply and without him. He wants us to actually embrace things with him, that he carries the weight, that the load is his, that we just follow him, and we just are, in a sense, disciples. We're just following Jesus. But that isn't, it's like, you're a hard taskmaster. Well, who told him that? You know, the other two people who received 5 talents and 10 talents, they didn't have that impression. They actually went on and did what God wanted them to do and were blessed. You know, so there is this way that the enemy will always try and get us to think of God in a particular way that brings fear and causes us not to trust, and therefore causes us to go back to the same choice that Adam and Eve were given. You can do this. You can know. But apart from God. And that's the basis. So why would you be heavy burdened only because you're carrying something that doesn't belong to you?
Yeah.
So then I'm free only to do what I see the Father doing. I don't have to do anything that anyone else wants me to do, because he's prepared everything I need for me to be able to do that in relationship of being yoked to him. If I'm not yoked to him, or another way of putting it, he's not on the throne of my life and I've not surrendered, then I am doing stuff, you know, his grace age where we should be mature, he does remove some elements of, I'm going to do this for you, rather than now you're called to do this for me, with me. So there's an ongoing relationship there which we need to embrace. And it's actually, and I hold God to Matthew 6, 33. If you seek my kingdom, then everything else will be added to you, you know, and for me to do it. You know, it's not my anointing, it's his. Everything is actually something that he has, and I'm a steward of, for his glory and for his blessing, and then next time learn to do it better. You know, it's like Peter getting out the boat and walking on the water. Well, he saw Jesus doing it. He was a disciple of Jesus. Disciples of Jesus, get out. They're the ones who should have got the, oh, you of little faith. At least Peter was willing to get out the boat and follow. You know, and in reality, that's it for all of us. And had saw what Jesus was doing, he would have done the same thing. Just as he did until he started to look at all the waves and everything that was going around. you know, which is why we can live, you know. But it's a good word, and a timely one. It's the same thing with Joshua, you know. Be of great courage. Why? Because I'm with you. You're doing what I've asked you to do. You know, you can take the fact of, you know, we're going to take the land, you know, but
it goes, has, you know, has to do with our, you know, our natural man wanting to gravitate a certain direction.
Yeah.
I mean, you talked about it. I listen like to the Transformation series, I tend to like rerun like each one several times just because I want to I just want to absorb it. And you can, you know, each time you can kind of tune in a little differently. And so sometimes in a day, like yesterday, I listened to the iniquity one three times. And you touched on that, about just, our, you know, fleshly, natural desire to gravitate in a certain direction, which is a resistance to what God is.
To the left or the right, depending on which way you place the ball, because it's got a weight in it, and it's called a bias. That's what technically it's termed. And you can roll it, and of course you can curve it. There are things that are in us because we are born in sin and iniquity from Adam's line that will automatically lead us to go in a certain way. But you can get the bowling ball to go straight. Yeah, it's not actually round, it's sort of strange shape. But if you roll it really, really hard, it'll go straight. Even if I'd never sinned ever in my life, I would still have the choice every day whether I was going to or not. And Jesus had that choice. He had the choice of whether, and he chose not to every day, because he only chose to do what he saw the Father doing, and that's the reality. When we're dead in with Christ and we no longer live, what it's saying is that old nature no longer lives. But actually, now I have who I am, and I have a choice. Am I going to choose? So it's a choice every day. If I surrender as a living sacrifice, I'm accepting the cross, and I am crucified with Christ. Therefore, and if there is iniquity or other things within my soul, then I need to remove them, because those are the things which will still have the memory of previous choices and everything else I've done that I need to make sure gets purified and refined and cleansed. And iniquity and, you know, seed and genetics. That's what I'm asking God. Search me and know my heart. He knows my heart already. But I want him to give me the revelation of what's in my heart so that my heart then can be surrendered. You know, whether it's, you know, the four different soils, the sacrifice doesn't prepare itself. It just is offered. And then the high priest prepares it. And that's obviously the whole living sacrifice process. But in continuing to offer myself as a sacrifice, it continues to give him the right to transform me and change me and bring everything to the surface and show me what's in my heart. And there's no guilt, there's no shame, there's no condemnation to admit, hey, I had some Nephilim seed or some thing in my DNA. Oh no, how terrible. Well, something in my heart. Take a coal to my heart and fan it. So it's really, really hot and does its job, you know. And at the end of that whole sequence, Isaiah didn't say anymore, oh no, you know, which was great. You know, and I find myself in that place every day. I go before the altar in the temple and I get my DNA unraveled and all the spot, wrinkle and blemish that's on all the stuff that's on the ceiling and all on the walls and all the maps and all the things that are up there, which I never ever noticed before, you know. Because now I'm looking, I'm thinking, wow, look at all these things. You know, and it's wonderful actually seeing the road start sparkling every few microseconds with all the people who are getting saved while you're there. You know, all their gems. There we go. Okay. All right. Anyone else? Yeah, well, someone must have something.
I've recently discovered, I don't know, the only way I can put it is that there's a type in shadows. So I've just recently discovered, and I'm sitting on the top of it, and it feels totally different. And I didn't know that there were two different, and there was like a baptism or a flood in the middle of it, which was really surprising. Into the earth. And I've never experienced that, and I haven't spent much time there, but I know that I can see what is the Sheol. I know I can see that. Do you have any things to share about that? Or
okay. Well, there are, in a sense, the mountain just represents your position of government. And so your position of government shifts as you are authorized into different levels of authority. So we start off in the realm of the kingdom of God, and that's where there's light and dark, and we're called to bring, you know, the light by taking our position on our mountain. Our seven mountains are associated with that, and we can see from that perspective. You're seeing them legislatively. You begin to see where order needs to come. Things just change. But there's another level where we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. Actually, and you know, and there were so few thrones that were occupied. And I found my throne and I sat on it, and immediately everything was different. Everything was different. I saw from that began to operate in benches and operate at a higher level. And, you know, that was great. And you begin to legislate certain things from there. And you know, you have access to the Chancellor's Court and different courts because you're operating in a different level, which gives you sort of authority. But when I then sort of progressed in this Lordship, Kingship, Sonship, once I started to engage the Firestones, which again was my first encounter in heaven, was on the Firestones, which was a pretty intense thing. You know, it took me ages to go back there. But once I started going back there, and I still don't go back there very often, because I'm still not in a position where I'm mature enough to sit there all the time. I go there sometimes with my spirit, you need to be here today. Generally, I'm operating in the realm of, you know, of the kingdom of heaven and what I'm doing right now, but I know ultimately I need to sit there, and that what I will do there will be totally different, because we're at a higher level and things are, then we get to do things differently from that position, you know. I haven't been there enough to fully understand what it is, but I know it's to do with a different way of governing in sonship than it is in kingship, you know, and it's to do with creativity, and it's to do with being made.
Right. Yeah. But it seemed like, why do I have the perspective that there's more than one mountain? Is it that it just, because it's totally different, and that separated, it's literally separated by water, because the mountain came up through the river of life. And so I just sitting on the very tip of it, just, there's not much that's almost feels like a Noah flood thing, but it seems like there's water in between.
Is a reflection of the mountain of God. So, you know, Mount Zion, where the garden is, where, you know, literally the trickle becomes a fountain and then a stream and a river within us, connected directly to the realm of heaven, but in the realm of the garden of God in heaven, Eden, not the administrative area of the realms of heaven. And that's, of course, where our source is and where the river of life is and the garden of God, and all cover authority in the atmosphere of the earth around the whole earth. Because you can remember that the firmament of the deep before the flood, there was the water or flows of that of water, And that is waiting to be released on the earth. At the moment, the river of life flows through each of us. We will see a time where that dam is broken, when we have authority of the earth, and that dam doesn't pour down like one place. It will flow around the earth so that the whole earth will again be encompassed by the river of life, and the everlasting doors will release it onto the earth. But we get to administer those everlasting doors. And then we're going to see the fullness of what it is to see that river released. So what you're seeing is representation that there are different authorities and different levels which will affect the outworking of that river. You know, it's like it's our responsibility. When I'm on my mountain and I'm looking at dealing with, you know, everlasting doors and stuff that I have authority over, I see it as a river flowing out of my belly up there and going through that door and coming, you know, in a different way than I see every day my spirit encompassing my soul and encompassing my body and creating an atmosphere of life around me. It's a different level of governmental authority. I'm a gateway of heaven, but I'm administering heaven so that heaven manifests in that way. So there are different, you know, you're seeing something that's representing different levels of government, and that's why you're seeing it in coming out of the river, you know, because in a sense, it's coming out of the fact of this is where life is going to be flowing from, and you're seeing things from that perspective, which is great, you know, and you know we're gonna see more and more of how that functions. You know, one of the first times, well, the first time I saw had any record understanding of the four faces of God was a mountain coming up out of a desert. And I was above that and looking down on it in a real vision. And I saw it and I'm looking down on it and I see this, what I think is a diamond shape, but actually it's a pyramid and representing the four faces of God. Now, I had no idea what it meant. And it was like, that was in 2006. So we're talking about a long time ago. And I kept it in my heart. I knew it was significant. I knew it was important. I knew it was something because this mountain rose up and it stopped. And it was like then, well, as I looked down and I saw this sort of shape on top and the authority that was on the mountain, then the mountain rose up further, you know, and it's only over years that I've actually realized, you know, what that really meant, you know, and I, at the time it was just a vision. I mean, it did shape something because I sort of started to think of how we see government and how we see ministry, because it was all about how we minister, and it was these four faces of ministry. At that point, I had no heavenly connection or been into the realms of heaven, you know, in that way, but that was what it was saying, you know, that you're going to come out of a place of a desert, and you're going to, that mountain is going to rise up, and it's going to be, this is what, how you're going to minister, you know, now I know it's the order of Melchizedek, you know. Back then, Melchizedek was just a funny-sounding name. You know, never met the guy or really understood that much because it was still, you know, is he Jesus? Is he an epiphany of Jesus? You know, what is he? You know, all these sorts of things. It's just like, you know, but now, you know, revelation has come, how that relates to the name of God, how it relates to the Ark of the Prince, all that stuff has just come out of something that God showed me, you know, nine years ago. But actually now the things that you're seeing now, the things that I'm seeing now, are going to be just like that in the future. We're seeing them like that, and it's just like, well, what is this? How do I relate to this? What does this mean? And it's like, some of it's just like, wow, this is just, I don't know. But we'll look back in a few years' time, and it will be like, now I'm operating in this. This is just normal for me. This is who I am. And that's how God does things. You get those forerunner experiences, you store them in your heart, you set the desires of your heart towards them, and then your life, you know, leads you to pursue them, you know. And I look back so much now that I'm just thinking, wow, yeah, now I understand. Now I understand. And then there's so many other things that I've just got no cognitive understanding of, but I've seen it and my spirit has received it, and I'm like, but I will understand. Because I'll come into the revelatory knowledge of that and begin to function in it. So there's so much more. You know, we're just touching on things right now. But it's great that God is unveiling it, and that's the key. You know, he's unveiling it so that you can see, hey, there is so much more. You know, and he's lifting you up into those places, and just, you know, when you see things from that perspective, it wants you want to see more things from that perspective, because it changes everything when you see it from the perspective of God and from that different places or positions of authority. You know, but you know, it's like, okay, how God has given you that encounter will probably be, you know, significant for you, as opposed to necessary the same for everybody, because it's something that God is revealing to you. You know, I've never been on a mountain that's, well, not that I'm aware of, because I don't tend to look at the bottom of the mountain or where it is. I just tend to do stuff from it. You know, so I'm not really looking at, well, you know, usually it's just like stuff is flowing out and I'm saying things and doing things and administrating. I'm not actually, so I may have been on a mountain that's come out of water. I don't know. You know, I've just never really looked to see that it's come out of water. But then God's never really sort of shown me that, because for it, I guess it hasn't been relevant for me to see it like that. But it is obviously for you, because that's how you've seen it. You know, so there's obviously something that's significant to this, the water, or the river, what that your authority is going to release. You know,
it was definitely amazing.
Yeah,
I mean, I what happened? I always saw the in the garden of my heart. I always saw the water always trickled into under the door. But you know, when we go into buildings, a lot of times our spirits just go in. We don't ever open the door.
Yeah.
And the last time you said something, you go, open the door. And so I opened the door, and it flooded everything. And everything. And I go, well, now what do I do with this? And it was a whole Noah thing, you know. And I went, now what do I do? And it then all of a sudden, I'm just, you know, so there were so many things, that, you know, what do? You just, so you just hang out there, and then wisdom comes along, and Jesus comes along, and yep. And he pulls these screens up and shows you all these holograms and stuff, and you're going, oh, what I relate to a hologram, that's the only thing that I can call it.
Yes, it's the same with me, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and he pulls them right up out of the, and you just look at it, and you can see it.
Mm. I mean, I've got them in my garden, in my secret place in my garden. I have them hanging in a tree. Holographic pictures of the things that God has shown me in vision and dream are things that will be in the future.
Yeah.
So they're there within the garden of my heart.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. Since I've had that experience, I'll sit at the piano, then all of a sudden go, well, Jesus will say, well, why don't you just read it right here? And so I've been practicing. Okay, holograms right here, and I can read it and I can sing it right away, and it's fun.
Yeah, it is fun, but it's really, really powerful and effective, because you're releasing a greater dimension and a greater level when you do it like that. You know, because it's coming out of a higher realm of authority, and actually, it's released. So as you say, what was a trickle is becoming a flood. Well, that means that it's going to bring greater life and greater dimension of life where it goes, you know. And you just have to keep opening the doors and letting it flood out. It's up to what happens with other people where it floods out. That's his stuff. You're just responsible to open the door, you know, and keep opening it. You know? God will do what he wants to do with others as a result of you opening the door for him. Because that's what he's looking for you to do. You know, be a gateway so that he can engage others. Awesome. Mm. That's all good. All right. Anyone got anything else before we close? I've got a few more minutes because I'm an hour earlier today, so so I'm not rushing off to get home.
I feel led to share, if anybody else has something, I'll anyway, I felt led to share something that happened to me on Sunday night at my, I call it Crazy House Church. And it got kind of crazy towards the end. I was sitting in a chair and I was just sitting there, and there was a girl that was getting ministered to, and she was a young Christian, and she was having some trouble, and she was weeping so hard that I thought, something is wrong. And then all of a sudden she started laughing, and it erupted the whole room into laughter, and everybody was laughing, I mean, and rolling on the floor, and the drums started playing, and I didn't want to laugh. I mean, I'm normally the first one, you know, rolling around on the floor. And so the guy, he was sitting right next to me, and he was drumming so hard, and I could feel the vibration of the drum. And I always think drummers are prophetic, and they're doing something in the land, and they're, you know. And so I just kind of sat there, and people kept trying to come up and get me out of my chair, and they're like praying for me, you know, thinking I'm not well, and, you know, because I was so quiet, because when I'm quiet, everybody gets, you know, worried. And so I felt myself disappear into the chair. And the next thing I knew, Jesus had me by the hand, and we ran up this ladder thing and burst through this door. And then we were on horses, and we were riding hard, man. I have a horse that's mine, and her name's Wisdom, and I know her, and I've had an encounter with her, and it was almost like amnesia when I didn't know her. Anyway, so I'm riding her, and we're riding fast. I mean, it is so, like, we're not on land, and we're kind of in space, it felt like. And we, you know, when you ride, you're down, and we're laughing, and riding like a billion miles an hour. We're riding and riding and riding, and then we're in this hallway, and through all this time, I can't speak, because people are coming up to me and trying to pray for me and pray healing, and, oh God, you know, because they're looking at me and they're not understanding I'm somewhere, and they're thinking I'm having a hard time, right? So I'm having all this weird stuff go on, and I don't want to tell them it's okay, you know, leave me alone, quit. Everybody's oiling me and, you know, praying. Everybody's really touchy-feely. So I'm riding. We get into this hallway, and Jesus takes my pass, puts it in a door, and locks it. Like, that's enough of that. And then we're back on our horses. And then this one girl realizes what's going on. She kind of tunes in. I never had this happen. I mean, I've been in encounters with people, but so she comes and she grabs my hand, and she holds my hand for like an hour. My arm is like hurting, bending over, and she's like groaning and, you know, doing all this stuff. And I'm riding, man. I'm riding hard. So I, in the spirit, I find a horse, I don't know, and I throw her up on top of the horse, and she takes off with me. And then the next time, a guy comes up, and he's like, will you pray for me? And I still can't talk. And so I grab his hand. Like, I'm sorry, I can't pray for you, because I'm doing something else. And he's sitting there, and so, and here's this other one with my other hand, and she's like groaning, and the drums, it was just, and everybody's laughing. I mean, it was so loud. And so this guy, so I thought, I'm just going to throw him up on a horse. I throw him up on a horse, and I'm still riding, and I had to turn around, and he falls off. And then my horse turns into this, it starts to grow, and it starts to get this beautiful armor stuff on the breastplate and on the legs, and, you know, just, I can feel the horse loving what's happening, and it starts to do like show horse dancing, and, you know, prancing around, and so I'm still trying to throw this guy up on this horse, and there was so many things happening in the natural and in the spirit. It was kind of crazy to be so focused, and but the guy kept falling off, and he didn't know how to ride, and I kept thinking, oh, I'm so sad. He keeps falling off, and I kept looking, you know, because I was wanting to take off, And I was pushing him up, and he kept falling down and falling down. And finally, I just said, dude, you're going to have to learn how to ride somewhere else, you know? And so I took off, and I'm just running. And this lasted for like 2 hours. I mean, it was forever. My arm hurt from her holding on to me, and she goes, I can't let go. And I'm like, I know. And she's totally understanding, and she doesn't have grid for any of this. I've never really talked to her about all this. And so the whole interaction in the natural and in the spirit was interesting. And then the guy sitting, you know, we all kind of came out of it, and the drum stopped, and because, you know, we have to leave at some point. We can't stay there all night. But he looks at me, and he goes, I said, dude, you need to learn how to ride. That was the only thing I said to him. And so he looks at me like, what? And I said, you don't know how to ride yet, but God's going to teach you how to ride. You keep falling off the horse, and so he's going to teach you how to get on and ride. And he just kind of looked at me like, what? And so then last Sunday, which was really different, very calm and very, you know, and all the drummers are like ready to go, and I'm like, it's not that kind of night. And so this guy comes up to me, and he goes, what did you mean by that? And I said, well, all I could say was that I was riding hard, and there was a horse, and I kept putting you up on the horse, and you kept falling off, and that God's going to teach you how to ride. And he starts crying and weeping and saying, I know, I need to learn how to ride, and I can't. I've been on this whole week. And so it was, I'd never had that happen where people came from the outside and then entered into my thing of what was happening. So I thought that was
Very interesting, yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, but I think that's, as you find heaven and earth overlapping more of that stuff starts to take place. Because you're there, but you're in heaven. And when people connect to you, they're going to connect to heaven because you're there. And so more and more of that, as more and more people, you know, there's a multiplication that takes place, an exponential thing, as like 1 for 1,000 to 10,000. So when 2 people come together, that multiplies that effect. And when 3 people comes together, that is 100 times that effect, you know. And so it's just exponential that actually the overlap, effectively you're living under that open heaven. It's like you've been whisked up into that doorway. And actually, because you are connected to here and there, then other people can connect also. And it's going to take, it's more and more, we have that a lot here in terms of engaging the angelic and actually, are we in heaven? Are we on earth? Actually, we're in both. And they're in both, in a sense, because we're just superimposed now. And therefore, people can engage because people have opened the door. And the more that people do it, the more other people get drawn into it. So that's really what you're seeing. You're there in both places, and therefore people touch you here, then they're actually having an encounter there. Even though they may not be totally cognitive of it, something's happening. Their spirit, their probably soul is not caught up. You effectively were almost trance-like, completely separate from this, whereas they weren't, you know. So they were touching into it, but were still not probably connecting fully with what's going on there spiritually, but you know, with their mind, but their spirit was. And that's why the guy basically was falling off, because he's not used to operating like that, you know. But people will get more used to it, you know, as we see heaven overlapping more and more, and it will be, well, where are we? Well, we're just dimensionally connected, you know. So
it is interesting, because the guy is, had quite a bit of experience in the New Age. So I assumed he could ride.
Mm.
You know, I assume that, and maybe, you know, he's like, I have to untangle a whole bunch of stuff. So
yeah, definitely. But also not just untangle it, he has to see that you can't ride the old way he used to. That's probably right. Why he was falling off, because actually he has to let go of the old way of riding, you know, and because this is a new way. And that's probably what he needs separating from. But it's great. I mean, it's, you know, it's really good.
Yeah.
But we're going to see more and more of that. So, excellent.
So, Bracey, what was the girl's, what was her interaction or awareness, or was there any? I mean, I know she was holding your arm, but what did she have to say?
Well, she was, you know, she's a heavy drinker. You know, she's a river swimmer. So, she's always got her shofar, and she's always kind of off somewhere dancing, you know? And so she recognized, and through the whole thing, because my arm, I mean, she had my hand and was bending it back, and I was trying to get my arm in a way that I could hold her hand, because I knew it was important, and she kept saying, this is important, I can't let go of your hand. And, but she wasn't there last week, so I couldn't talk to her about it, but it'll be interesting to see where she went, because she went somewhere, and she was sighing and groaning and making sounds so that people were coming up and they were looking at her like, is that good? You know, they were like, I'm not sure if that's good or not. And I kept saying, you know, I'd look and try to smile like, it's good, leave her alone. You know, don't try to stop her from where she's going, because a lot of people they're just starting to understand about even sonship and the kingdom, and, you know, I'll release one little thing and they'll take off with it, and so it's a very receptive crowd. But she's that she even recognized where what was happening to me out of the whole room, I find extraordinary. That she tuned in and went, ooh, I want a part of that. Because she grabbed my hand and like, I want that. Wherever you're at right now, I want it. And so it'll be interesting when I see her, what she says about that. But I knew she went with me. She was riding with me. She got on her horse, and she was riding. She was riding right alongside with us. And
awesome. Okay, thanks, Ben. Okay, yeah, it was really, really good testimonies, and we're going to see more and more of those type of encounters, different for different people, but actually people experiencing something new and fresh, and God just expanding people's awareness of what's possible, you know. So that's awesome. So, really good. Okay.